Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears broadcasting here on this snowy Monday morning, and that's exactly where we are. I'm broadcasting from the home studio today because some roads are not able to be traveled this morning. That's just the way it is. We're also still on a level 3 snow emergency, so I thought that was best to do. Roads do look like they're getting a tiny bit better, but not all that much, I guess is what I should say. So we're just going to have to deal with it. Now, I do want to let everybody know, since I'm not in the studio, the phone line to hit me up on. Oh, and by the way, because I am broadcasting remote, if we happen to go out for some reason or something happens or you can't hear my voice, give me a second. I'm sure we will get the technology back up and running. With the snow, you know, things are not moving as well as we would like them, but we do want to be on the air for you this morning. Here's what we know. Level 3 snow emergency still in effect for Marion area. Only if you absolutely need to be on the roads, should you be on the roads. Call ahead. See if your work is in session today. Schools certainly are not. I don't even think many people are going to work today. I think Whirlpool is closed. A lot of places are closed. A lot of restaurants are closed. I saw Payne's Pizza's closed. It's just the way it's going to go today. Call ahead before you go to work and be as careful as you can because we are still on a level 3 snow emergency. Now, I should let people know that because I am in the home studio today, the phone number is different. We'll try to take phone calls. Because I imagine a lot of people are home this morning. 740-751-4038 would be the number to call this morning. And I think we still should be able to take phone calls if everything pans out okay. 740-751-4038. That would be the number to call. Now, as far as snow accumulation totals, apparently it depends on who you talk to. Now, one report this morning said 13.5 inches of snow in this entire storm. One report said 11 inches, and this is all Marion, not Columbus numbers, 11 inches. And then the National Weather Service, which I'm not really sure what's going on there, I think they said 6.9. inches of snow, which I don't think that's right at all, but I'm not sure who reported that number. In any event, those are the snow accumulation totals. By the way, the biggest snow accumulation on that date, or of the season, I guess it should be, 2008, 15 inches. That was in early March. I remember that. I was on the radio during that time. Now, the phone line again, 740-751-4038, if anybody has anything they'd like to say. Please feel free to buzz in. I'd love to hear how you're doing in the middle of this snow emergency that has sprung up on us. I guess going out and getting all of the bread and the milk and the eggs, maybe it paid off for somebody, I don't know. Again, I don't understand it. I'll never understand it because if you were actually snowed in, how long are you actually going to be snowed in? And number two, these are things that are perishable items. They're not going to last forever. But you know what? If you got your milk and your eggs and your bread, I hope you're happy. 21 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. Remember, it is a different number. I imagine people are probably calling the studio right now. And we'll see if this whole phone situation works here this morning. 740-751-4038. And I do want to remind people again, maybe just tuning in right now, that we are broadcasting remotely. So if for some reason the connection goes out or something happens, stay with us. We will get reconnected rather quickly. That's just the way it goes here this morning. 740-751-4038. I'm actually curious for somebody to call in this morning to see exactly how the phone system will work, because that's always interesting on mornings like this to see. I don't know if the voices will translate well. We can only hope that they will. I don't know why they wouldn't, but you never know as we fly along here. I don't know, again, what the total snow accumulation was. Like I said, the sources that I checked said everything from 6.9 inches to 13.5 inches. By the way, 7 degrees in Marion right now, very cold morning. But, oh, I think we're getting a phone call here this morning. So let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I just saw the mayor.
Did you?
The mayor's frozen to a fire hydrant.
Well, it'd be easy to do at this point. It is very, very cold.
Well, you know, the sanitation crews just collected on my street, and we need a big, hearty thank you for those guys out there in this cold picking up our refuse.
Absolutely. Even on a level 3, they're still out there, and God bless them for doing that. Now, these weather totals are all screwed up, and I was kind of shocked that the National Weather Service said 6.9. I don't think that that's right, but we've had everything from 6.9 to 13.5. What do you think is the actual snow accumulation that we got?
Well, I just heard that in Chicago, Maryland Chambers got almost 12 inches last night.
Is that right?
That's right. So I don't know about here. It looks like maybe 4 to 5. Depends on where you are in how much drifting there is.
Oh, wait, I should say that the National Weather Service said 4 inches. I got that wrong. They said, I think 3.9 is what they said. But I don't think that's right. I'm guessing we're closer to 6 to 7,
depends,
drifting.
It depends on where you are, because rain, the amounts of rain are different from this area to that area. So if you're on the east side of town, on the east side of 23, you may have gotten more than what we did on the west side, so, or vice versa.
You know, it's interesting. I was able to make it out yesterday, and not very far, but I did make it a little ways out, and it was so strange because even on Christmas and New Year's, McDonald's does not close, but yesterday they were closed.
Wow. I'll tell you one thing. You go down on campus, and I'll bet you Buckeye Donuts is open for business.
You know, yes, there is a station reporting on that, and I hope I have this number right, but because they were one of the few things opened in Columbus yesterday, I think it said they sold over 1,000 donuts or something.
Oh, I'm sure they easily sell that daily.
Well, hold on. Let me get the number.
Everybody coming from campus.
It was some kind of crazy number. I remember that because I did see that story this morning that they had sold some kind of crazy number of donuts because of this snowstorm. Well, let's see here. Yesterday they said more than 2,000 donuts. Well, so apparently the number's not that high. They're saying 2,000 as of, that's 8 hours ago. So I'm guessing, you know, that's a high number for them. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, here, yeah, they all say 2,000.
Well, when you consider the faculty as well as student body on campus, and then on the east side of High Street, where they are, if you only got 1/10 or even 1/5, 1/10 or 1/20 of the population of campus, that's a lot of donuts.
It is a lot of donuts, and I'm not sure what went on here in Marion. I don't know that any restaurant was open yesterday as I I only got a little way up Route 95 yesterday, but I did see McDonald's was all dark. I did see...
Panera open?
I did not see any cars in any parking lot. I saw plows going through parking lots. Now, here's a funny story. As people know, pretty much by this point, I live out by Meijer. So I pull out, you know, by Meijer, and what is one of the parking lots that was getting plowed right in the middle of this storm yesterday? The car wash. Now, I thought, how many people are going to be beating the door down to get to the car wash today?
Well, they're getting ready for the slosh time, I guess.
I don't know.
It has as much ice and everything else.
And that was fairly early in the day. That was probably around 12 o'clock yesterday, so the storm wasn't even near being over.
I wouldn't even call this a storm. You know, everything was so small snowflakes and stuff. I can remember the real snowstorms of 77, 78. Good heavens, man. Those were some wild storms.
Well, it got us up to a level 3. I have not seen a level 3 snow emergency. I think the last time they said was 5 years ago here in Marion.
Level 3.
Yeah, we hit a level 3 yesterday morning somewhere around.
We haven't had that, and we've had, what does the National Weather Service say? How many inches of snow?
They're saying 3.9, but I really don't think that's right.
Let's say there's 5 inches of snow. That's still a level 3?
Well,
man,
I think part...
alive. Those county roads must be hell.
Well, they are, and I think that's part of the problem. I think the side roads are not getting plowed. The problem, the reason I did not go to the station this morning is the boulevard. The boulevard is a wreck. It's hard to get from
one... What happened? What's on the boulevard?
Well, it's not plowed properly. I mean, 95 is pretty good, and I'm guessing that Delaware Avenue is pretty good because of the hospital. But to try to get down the boulevard or to try to go down any of the side streets to get across town, like downtown, those streets are not very well.
You know, I can't remember where it is. I don't see why they don't put plows on the garbage trucks. You know?
Well, you know something that amazed me? I did see that Payne's Pizza has already canceled their ships today again. I see where Whirlpool, I believe, has canceled their ships, which I can never remember that happening because of weather.
Court been canceled then?
I believe court has been canceled, yes.
Okay. Because I was planning on going up to the Ratliff trial. So I heard that if there was a level 3, they would cancel it and figure out another time.
Well, we still are on a level 3 the last I looked, and I usually get the updates here, so I haven't seen anything telling me that we're not on a level 3.
Mm. Well, hey, you know, it's time to take out those cross-country skis, dust them off, and enjoy the snow.
Yeah, just got a message from somebody out there listening. Court is canceled today.
Ah. Well, I'll tell you, I had to dig quite a bit my front porch to get my trash out for collection today. And there were, with drifting, there was some that was, it was pushing a foot deep in some of that. So it's just really hard to tell actual accumulation.
Well, and apparently it resumes tomorrow at 9 a.m. Hey, maybe we'll get a call in from Naomi this morning, because I know she's been going to the trial, and get an idea of what's been going on there. Because the Star has done one story, I think, and I'm not sure really how accurate that is, so maybe we'll get an update.
I was on the phone with her getting an update yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We almost talked for 2 hours.
Well, here we go. Maybe we'll get an update for the rest of the listening audience.
So, hey, I'll give her a text message to give you a call.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Do better tomorrow.
All right. Phone lines are open here. You know, we can only talk about the snow for so long. It is what it is, and we'll be on for 2 hours this morning. And it sounds like people can hear the callers okay, so you know what? Maybe the broadcast is working here this morning, the remote broadcast. Remember, we are working out of the home studio this morning. So the phone line is 740-751-4038. That will be the number to call as opposed to the other number. Let's see here. We got a message. Whoever is plowing west on David Street knows what they are doing. In Fair Park, they are not clearing the intersections. Experience versus inexperience. Not critical, just facts. And that's from one of our listeners out there this morning. So there you go. That's, yeah, I think you'd want to know what you're doing in the plowing business as time goes on. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you this lovely Snowmageddon morning?
You know, I'm okay. It's great to have I'm glad I left the home studio up after I stopped broadcasting from home for days like this.
That was just your intuition is what it was.
I guess I knew that something could happen, and I thought, well, you know, I'll leave it there. And it's strange because I could get, like yesterday I was able to get out. I can get from my house to 95. It's just trying to get across town that is not very easy right now.
I didn't see a lot of plow trucks out last night. Now, my street has been plowed, but I'm a pretty busy through street. But I think they were just kind of waiting last night for the snow to stop, because what's the point of continually going out just to plow? And I was thinking, I shouldn't laugh, it's not funny. I was thinking those guys are probably suiting up thinking, I'm probably not even going to get paid for this anyway, so what's the point?
Well, I did hear, and of course it's all at hearsay at this point, there was a point yesterday in the middle of the day, I believe, where the trucks were called back in because they weren't making any headway, and they said, hey, listen, we're just going to have to wait till this is over.
Yeah, it's in a money situation, you're throwing good money after bad because they weren't going to fight it. So I have cameras that face the street, and you can't help but notice on the screen when a plow truck goes by. So there were a few hours that we didn't see any, but again, I don't blame them. Now, what I do feel bad for is that every other service and City Hall and everything is closed down, but the poor trash men are still out slinging garbage this morning.
You know, honestly, I mean, I'm giving them a kudo because they are, but I did not think on a level 3 that even they would be allowed.
No. I mean that. Bless their hearts wholeheartedly. Thank God they showed up. They were just out there getting my recyclables a little bit ago. But if I were them, man, this would be one of my union complaints, or this would be a day where I did you know how they do the sick out things? I would collectively organize and call off today, because the people sitting up in City Hall at their nice warm desks don't have to go to work, but the guys and gals out picking up our refuse that are knee deep in snow and negative temperatures today do, that's not fair. We could skip trash pickup for a few days, I think.
Let me read these things here in regard to the snow, because I think I read the first one wrong. It was from Phil out there. Whoever is plowing west of David, I think I did not say west. Whoever is plowing west of David Street knows what they are doing. In Fair Park, they are not clearing the intersections. Experience versus inexperience. Not critical, just facts. And then from Mary out there this morning, Summit Street has been plowed twice yesterday and today. How's it looking out there, Mary, if you can send us another message? Because I looked at the boulevard and I thought, holy mackerel, that does not look good.
My situation is just a little bit different than everybody else's in that I live in a busier street and we get plowed. I'm not on one of the side streets, but yesterday I live right across from Fahey Street, and this poor woman, she didn't realize it was a level 3. She was out door dashing, and she had like a small Prius type car, and she wasn't going anywhere. So the neighborhood men folk gathered up and pushed her out, and she got back onto Silver, and she's like, I'm just going home. Yep, I would too.
Now, that one of the problems is that people don't think about is even when they come through and plow, a lot of times they plow you in.
Yeah.
Your driveways get plowed in.
Well, I have to park on the street. I don't have a driveway. So I definitely get plowed in, but I've also got a pickup truck, so that makes life a little easier too.
Yeah, if you got the big trucks, it certainly is a help. What do you make of these odd readings? You know, one of these came from a television station. I think that was the 6.9. And then another one came from a service. That was 13.5. Then the National Weather Service is saying 3.9, and these are all designated toward Marion. I don't know.
We went outside last night, and we have a tote that sits up there that has various garden stuff in it, and we cleaned the top of it off just, well, yesterday before it started snowing. I guess it would have been Saturday night. My days are all a blur now, too. We cleaned the top of the tote off just for an informal registry of, and it's not windy or anything, so it didn't drift. And we think about a foot, 11 inches, 12 inches, something like that is on top of it.
You know what?
And
I'll tell you.
It's flat, so it's not drifted or anything, so I think it's a pretty accurate read.
I'll tell you something funny. When I worked at WMRN, and I don't even know if they do this any longer, but they were the reporting for the National Weather Service. So we had to file those things away every day on the computer and make a paper copy and so on and so forth, because that's what the National Weather Service used as their reporting station in Marion. And when I was taught how we – now, I will tell you, now, rainwater is different, and I'll tell that story some other time. That actually was
10
done –
10 inches of snow is 1 inch of rain.
Well, but the way we measured, like, rainfall in a rainstorm – now, that was actually a very technical process, and we actually had a machine that did that, and that was all actually done properly. Do you know what our process was for measuring snow totals?
A ruler.
A yardstick. You got a yardstick, and you went out in the back parking lot, and you found what you thought was the most leveled-off area, and you stuck that yardstick in the ground. And whatever it said, that was what the National Weather Service got. So there was no great rhyme or reason to that.
So the top of my tote would be an accurate National Weather Service read then.
I was always blown away by how this is how the National Weather Service gets its numbers.
I hope there's something a little more accurate now. But I did hear you mention the Ayers trial, and I'm not going to go verbatim for what's been said because there are people that are yet to testify, and you know, I'm not going to disclose all the testimony that's been given and cause a mistrial or anything like that. Let's see, jury selection went on for 2 days, which is very unusual because they kept saying, you know, one day, and then maybe there would be the opening arguments on after lunch on the second day, and then that turned into a whole nother day of jury selection. And then the next morning, court was supposed to start at 9, and I got there at 8:40, and the attorneys had actually already been in front of the judge arguing some more final points about what was going to be allowed into the trial and what wasn't going to be allowed into the trial. I mean, that was going on right up until they brought the jury into the room. And without elaborating too much, let's just say that Ratliff got an important piece of evidence. I wouldn't even say it was important, but it was critical. It wasn't damning or anything like that. But they chose not to call the alleged victim in the case. Ray Grogan did. He chose not to call her. Because you and I had discussed in the past that he tried to get the court to call her as a witness so he would be able to impugn her testimony and the fact that she had recanted. He would be able to take her to task on that. And the court said, no, if you want the testimony, you're going to need to call them as the witness yourself. So Ray decided not to call the alleged victim. So you're sitting up there at a rape trial, and you're having people talk about this, that, and the other details, and it's really hard to piece together. I even know what happened, but as someone who wouldn't have known all the details, it's hard to piece together what they're talking about when there's no witness to say what happened.
Well, didn't I hear something?
Do you see what I mean? Like, how do you? I mean, they're going on with the details of this, but there's no one there to tell you that's actually what happened.
Well, didn't I hear that apparently at some point some kind of plea bargain had been made or offered?
Ray wanted it put on, that was in the morning of day two. Ray wanted it put on the record that he had made a plea offer in the deal, in this the case, but he did not say what it was.
Now, why do you
put on the record?
Why do you think he wants that on the record?
The best I can do back there is, in my legal mind, while I'm sitting in the gallery, is for the legal or for the civil case, to set it up for the civil case. For, like, you know, I think one of the allegations was Ayers had said malicious prosecution. Well, it kind of buffers the whole "I was malicious" if I offered you a deal.
Yeah, but if you're in the criminal trial and you're trying to win the criminal trial, doesn't that work against you if you get up and say we made an offer?
You would think. I thought it was noteworthy.
I mean, I would just think if I'm sitting in the jury pool and the prosecutor has just told me that he tried to make a deal, then how much does he believe in his own case?
Well, when you don't call your own witness, how much do you believe in your own case?
You know, this is why I say, and I've been saying it forever, nobody is getting out of this thing alive. I mean, these people's careers are just hanging by a thread at this point.
Ray did no questioning at all the first day. He did no, did not question any witnesses. He did not present any evidence the first day. The second day, he did question. The second day was the sexual assault nurse examiner, and he questioned her. I will tell you, I don't know if it's like something that they collectively need to go in on a group rate and do for the local Republican Party, but his body language and his emotions are so, he's like Twyla Lang Jr. He's not as animated or as huffy as her, but so in court, you know, we're used to on TV, we watch, they say object, and then somebody, and then the attorneys will argue back and forth, and the judge will say sustained or whatever. So in this situation, the judge said, the attorneys, you know, they object, but instead of arguing their objection in open court, he takes them over to the side of his bench, he takes the court reporter over there, and then they turn on white noise, so what's being said can't be heard. And the judge said the reason for that is, during an objection, he doesn't want the jury to hear something that they're not supposed to hear. He said, so the reason why he does this, takes you over to them to the side and has the white noise, is because he doesn't want to have to tell the jury to unhear something. He said, I know we tell you that. He said, there goes a plow truck. He said, I know we tell you that, but it really, he said, I know we're all humans and you can't unhear things. He said, so what I do is I just keep you from hearing it to begin with. And he said, then if you're supposed to hear it after the objection, you will. And if you're not, you won't. He said, so really, I'm just doing you a favor by not putting a bunch of information in your mind that you don't need. So when they're over there doing these objections, I mean, you'll actually, there'll be times, Ray, the first day of the trial in the afternoon, he objected 15 times. He got two of them. But there's been times that he actually turned around, crossed his arms, huffed, and looked out into the audience while the judge was talking to him. I mean, I've seen TV lawyers, actors play better lawyers than I'm astounded at how unprofessional he is. I've never seen him in trial. But, yeah, and they've got like five lawyers, a table full of five lawyers.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I did talk to somebody last week who had been to the trial, just to give another perspective. Now, what they said to me was they thought that Ray did a decent job. I don't know that they said good, but they effective in what he was doing. Now, that this might have been a different day.
I was going to say he didn't talk at all the first day.
Yeah, it might have been a different day.
People were struggling to stay awake, and there were five witnesses.
But I think they said they thought they did he did an effective job, and that that Rocky actually was having a hard time making his point, and that
that's not the way I saw it. But
I guess everything, you know, it's perspective.
Mm-hmm. I think the second day with the same, it was much definitely. For Ray, it was a stronger day than the first day, because the first day I just sat there wondering, like, what point is he trying to make with this evidence? At one point, they showed the front of Ayers' house. They had the BCI person who collected evidence, that actually went in and collected evidence. They showed a picture of the front of Ayers' house, okay? and they're like, tell us right here what these windows go to. That would go to a sunroom on the inside of the house. Okay, and then these windows up here, what would they go to? Well, they go to the upstairs bedrooms on the house. And then that door right there, I'm thinking it goes inside is where it goes. It's the front door to the house. Where does it go? Okay, well, you step into like a dining room type area, and there's a staircase off to the right. And you think they're getting to a point, right? No, that's it. That's all they say. The picture of the front of the house and explaining where the windows are and where the door goes to. That's it. The next picture they show is of a bedroom. And that's it. There's no explanations. There's phone cords by a bed. That's it. There's no explanation of anything else. There's no DNA that was presented that was there. There's just a picture of the front of the house and of a bedroom. There's no explanation of what went on in there, what was alleged to have gone on in there, any evidence that might exist that something went on in there. Like I said, I sat there for hours trying to figure out what they were trying to prove on day one. Day two, they were talking about an exam. I mean, I know what they were trying to prove on that exam. And if there were any... There's a thing called Rule 29 that a judge can dismiss. Well, they don't dismiss it. They find you not guilty because there's just not enough evidence, and it's for a reasonable person to infer guilt. And I would think that what happened on the second day would be that there would be enough evidence there for someone to ponder. Not that they would necessarily find you guilty, but that a judge would say, okay, this needs to be left up to a jury. So I think that based on what I know about the experts, that are going to, because here's the thing, Ray has presented about 12 hours of testimony and he's likely done. They said he may call some more witnesses. He hasn't even made it known whether he's calling more witnesses tomorrow or not, but he might be resting, and the defense starts tomorrow. That's 2 days of testimony, less than 12 hours.
So did you feel that the Marianne Starr article reflected what had happened?
All it was the opening arguments, and the opening arguments are nothing but this is what, you know, them setting you up for what they're getting ready to tell you for the next however long, so they can say whatever they want to in those things.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this after I had talked to the person, I believe it was Friday, about this trial, and I said, you know, what this really, really is coming down to is you've got two people who could end up incarcerated. That's not a pleasant thing. And then you've got one person who for 2 years has claimed that this is very damning evidence and a slam dunk who could, you know, lose the case. And that is going to be a guarantee, a plaster everywhere, because this has been so closely followed by media. And I don't know how anybody gets out of this even looking remotely good at this point.
Okay, I'll say this much. Like I said, I'm trying not to give too much away as far as testimony goes for anyone that's still listening. And I'm not trying to be obscure. There are people that still have to testify, and you're not allowed in the courtroom while testimony is going on because they don't want your testimony to be affected by what was said. So I'm trying not to give away. I'm not deliberately doing it. I'm trying not to give away details, but if somebody heard them, they would go in and be like, oh, well, I'm going to change my testimony, you know? But one of the things that the judge said before the jury was brought in, and this happened in open court, so one of the things the judge said before the jury came in, day one, before the jury was brought in the first time, he had made a ruling, and Ray was not happy with it. And Ray said, Your Honor, I mean, he raised his voice at the judge. He said, Your Honor, I can't think of one case in the state of Ohio where this would have been allowed to have happened. And he said it twice, and the judge said, it had something to do with hearsay. And he said, actually, he said, there are 35 exams, and I wrote this down, that's the reason why, there's 35 exceptions to hearsay, and I can think of three of them off the top of my head right now. That's why I'm not allowing it in. And he said, I realize that the prosecution has been dealt a tough hand, he said, but it's one you chose to play. The judge said that.
Huh.
Yeah. So... I mean, and then the jury was brought in. So, take that for what it's worth. But that's a visiting judge from Columbus. He's a very nice man. Very respectful of the jury. Just pleasant and yeah, I feel he's going to do what's right and fair, regardless of what the outcome is. But I think if anyone was there listening to the evidence, especially if Ray is getting ready to rest his case, there's at least reasonable doubt. There would have to be reasonable doubt. Because if you're explaining all this stuff to me but not telling me why you're explaining it to me, like I said, if you show me a picture of a bedroom, you need to say, the rape happened on the bed and here's the DNA. None of that happened.
Well, I think the unfortunate thing here is obviously... Well, I think it maybe not unfortunate. The most interesting...
There isn't any DNA. I will say that. There is not any DNA.
Well, I guess the most interesting thing in this whole bit to me is the offering of the plea deal. Because, okay, now the plea deal, whatever it would have been, clearly would have been for the prosecution to have something, you know, that they got something out of this. But I don't even know what it could have been. No jail time? I don't know. And I guess that's all speculation, but, you know...
I know, and I'll tell you, but you'll have to keep it quiet, and I'll tell you when we're done.
So you know what it was. But
yeah.
I just it's shocking to me that after all this slam dunk and civil trial talk and bringing the charges...
Oh, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly for a long time.
Yeah, but bringing the charges again and saying we compiled more evidence. Well, I don't know how you get to a plea deal.
Do you know what the more evidence was?
What's that?
They had not gotten a written statement from someone in the first go-round from one of the witnesses.
Uh-huh.
They'd gotten their recorded statement, et cetera, but they had not gotten their statement in writing, and they used that as an excuse to dismiss the case and represent. That's their new evidence that they represented with a written statement from the same witness.
Well, I guess we'll go on down the road with this one. Oh, by the way, I do want to mention that Mary's saying cars are going up and down her street, level 3, and yes, the snowplow has plowed them in. So that can happen. I want to make sure to get this in because I'm sure this will be a topic next hour. You know, oh, Lord, ice in Minnesota. Alex Priddy killed over the weekend. Presidents are now speaking out. Bill Clinton has spoken out. President Obama has spoken out, saying that...
It's not legal to carry a gun anymore in the United States, Scott, even if you have a concealed carry.
Well, you know what?
It's no longer a constitutional right.
I watched this video, and before he's killed, they take the gun off of him, it looks like.
Yes.
So I'm not even sure what they're...
They have to have a narrative, and Kristi Noem comes out and says that... peaceful protesters don't bring guns to riots, but she forgot about Kyle Rittenhouse. And was it Wisconsin? He actually left his home state and went to another state and shot people. He was a minor and had a long rifle, which is illegal in most states, not the state he was in. But the state he was from, it was illegal. And he didn't take a gun across state lines. But, I mean... The narrative is, you know, peaceful protesters don't show up with guns. Well, then how did Kyle Rittenhouse get off murder charges?
All I know is that if something is not done in Minnesota very quickly, there is going to be something horrible happen. Not that two horrible things already haven't happened.
Three people have been shot, but only two have died.
I just
three
think...
people have actually been shot.
I mean,
did you see what happened Sunday with their protest? Even in like -3-degree weather, just tens and tens and tens of thousands of people showed up in downtown Minneapolis. It might have been Friday. It seems like it was a normal work day, and everybody just didn't go to work. They just stores had to shut down and everything because people weren't there to work. People bundled up and took to the streets. And
well, that's what I'm saying. How unpopular do you want to be before these midterm elections? Now the Democrat, I think Schumer was saying, you know, we planned on shutting the government down anyway over these healthcare subsidies not being renewed, but now we're going to do it because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I mean,
and then you had Pam Bondi. Did you see the letter that Pam Bondi sent to Wolf? She said that if Minnesota would release their voter rolls. Release who receives public assistance and something else, some other demand they had, then they would consider not sending any more ICE troops. But until they did those things, that they were basically going to be considered combatants. That's the Attorney General, Governor of a state.
You know, I didn't follow the...
Give us your welfare rolls.
You know, I did not follow this past weekend as closely as I should have this whole thing.
Understandably,
but,
Scott, by the way, I'm still thinking of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I just, this morning when I was going over it, I just cannot quite understand.
It's unfathomable.
I don't know what's going on there. I don't know why they can't, and this is from one of our listeners this morning. The administration is outright lying, saying that Alex Priddy pulled a gun on an ICE agent, and there are like seven different videos from various angles all showing mm-hmm. that's clearly not true. His gun was holstered the entire time the ICE agent took it off of him before they executed
him. Shot him 10 times in the back.
I don't understand that either.
10 times in 5 seconds he was shot.
I mean, I just can't imagine what is going on there and what is the rationale.
The poor people living in a war zone in the United States of America.
Their
neighbors are being shot.
Well, it's depressing. It's depressing to think that
terrifying.
This is in Minneapolis,
mm-hmm,
Minnesota.
But you know what they weren't expecting? They weren't expecting the protesters to have parkas and to be able to go out and fill the streets. Those Minnesotans are built for this weather. So bless them. We all need to support them. And I don't care what your stance is. I heard someone say, well, if you just stay home, you won't die. Okay, well, last I knew, it's our constitutional right to redress our government. So you start saying when you just give up your rights, you won't die. You know, comply or die. No, not in a free country. And we all need to be worried about that.
Hey, you know what? We got to step out for a break, but we're coming back next hour. Stay tuned.
Take care, Scott.
All right, thank you. All right, we got to step out here because we got to keep our breaks on time this morning because we are not in the studio. Do want to mention that again. If you do want to call in next hour, heaven knows there's a lot to talk about. The snow, what's going on in Minnesota. We just got an update there on the Ratliff trial. We appreciate that. And we'll come back after the news, the weather, and the top of the hour features and talk much more about this here on WGH Talk on this Level 3 snowy, snowy morning here in the Marion area. Be safe in whatever you do today. Don't be on the roads unless you have to. That's what a Level 3 means. We're going to step out for about 15 minutes here, but we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Place for the Best Guests and Talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner.